Hello, I'm Shervington Hennies, and yes, it is time for our first official episode on change, or for the change show. Now, one of the things we want to establish right off the bat and what we'll be exploring for the change show is to look at different issues and how to embrace, undertake change and sustaining and maintaining change is that we have to understand the difference between stages of change and processes of change. That is the key to maintaining, whether it's harm reduction or abstinence or sober living, whether that is for substance use, abuse or misuse, or for process addiction, or if we're looking at mental health wellness and mental illness management and stability, we have to understand the difference between stages of change and processes of change. Now, there's schools of thought that says there's 4 stages or 5 stages. There's some school of thought that even say there's 6 stages of change. Now, they all agree, whether we look at it from standpoint of 5, 4, 6, there is an agreement that for change to come about, there is usually that stage, that initial stage or the first stage, or whether it's the cycle we're looking at, and there's no clear demarcation of the different stages, because I don't think it's all usually just clear cut that, okay, you're dead bang on this stage and then we know that you're completely out of this stage and you're going to. It fluctuates and people can go and recycle back into the different stages. But there's always the understanding that there can be a pre-contemplation stage. And this is a stage where there is no clear embracing on the part of the person needing to undertake or embrace change that there is something that needs changing. And usually in this stage, there's a lot of denial. The person may not even be aware that there's something that needs changing. And this stage can be even more reinforced if there is a outside influence trying to impact for the person to bring about change for themselves, if they have not bought into it, because of one, they may not be the self-efficacy, or there may be too much ambivalence with regards to there's more reasons for remaining the same as against changing. And that's the ambivalence we're talking about. It's not like there's, some people say ambivalence is 50-50. Okay, ambivalence in this sense is that there are more reasons for staying the same as against chain reasons for changing, when we can tip the scale in favor of there's more reasons for changing, then we can bring about some amount of moving from one stage, or the stage of pre-contemplation, into the stage of contemplation, where there is an understanding or a feeling that there's something that needs to be changed. And that's where the ambivalence comes in. So let's look at the 6 stages of change in addiction recovery, for example. In the first stage of addiction recovery, a person usually does not consider their behavior to be an issue. So we can clearly see that if a person does not see that their issue is a problem, there's no motivation there to change. And the readiness for change is going to be much more difficult for that person to make that shift in terms of the ambivalence, to have more reason for wanting to change as against remaining the same. Contemplation now is where the person have realized that there is some issue or there is a problem, and they may want to change but doesn't feel like they can fully commit to the change. Once again, ambivalence plays a significant role in that the person does not have enough reasons for wanting to change as against remaining the same. And this is crucial to recovery, especially, let's say, changing behavior, or if there is some abuse or use or misuse, or if there's a process addiction or a maladaptive behavior, this is crucial. And this is the reason why there's going to be a more frequency or a shorter span for a lapse or a relapse. If we have not clearly identified what stage of change between pre-contemplation and contemplation that the person is at to bring about change. So right away, we're looking at the readiness for change, the willingness to change, and the motivation for change. That's key to understand about bringing about behavioral change. Where are we in the stages of change in terms of willingness, readiness, and motivation to change? Thank you for listening. I'm Shervington Hannes, and you can get more information about behavioral change through the changeclinic.org at changeclinic.org, or there is a parallel site at smahu.com. Thank you.